Millions of people suffer because they don't know how to awaken their superhuman potential. And that's why Masati today will tell us exactly how to do this. And what's so special about Masati is he's a visionary thought leader and the CEO and founder of Exponential Intelligence Science, a groundbreaking field dedicated to the study and application of dimensional consciousness for the advancement of humanity. And he has a profound focus on awakening consciousness and eliminating human suffering. Now, Masati, tell us about how can someone awaken to their superhuman potential? And what does that even mean?
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health changemakers to live your healthiest life ever.
What does that even mean? Well, you know, Lily, there was an intelligence. If you think about it, there's an intelligence that, say, created or rendered you here, you know, before you had a brain, before you were a single cell. So that intelligence obviously had a purpose. And that intelligence is, you know, your purpose. So most people think that, you know, their purpose is, you know, saving the whales, saving the planets, or, I don't know, doing good and all that stuff, which is fine. But while you're doing that, you have to serve the original purpose of why you're here. So awakening your potential or your superpowers is literally accessing that gift that you are. And then once you access that gift that you actually are, this is where you can create wealth, help people, you know, do whatever that you need to do, you know, have deeper relationships. That's the key. What most people do, Lily, is they literally disconnect from who they are, their original purpose, and go out there and venture out there. And then they start to realize it's like their billions of dollars didn't help anything. They feel hollow inside, or their spiritual growth, right? Like Deepak Chopra, he ended up on being on the Epstein list. Why is that? He had fortune, fame, and, you know, all that knowledge, but then why did he end up on the Epstein list? So this is where you move away from identifying your self-worth from an external point to identifying your self-worth from an internal point, and then wealth, spirituality, religions all become a reflection of who you are. And this is where deep healing happens as well.
Thank you. So a couple of years ago, I felt like my calling was to impact 100 million people to be happier, to go after what they wanted, and to share their stories with and to create wealth through books that transform the world. Now, since then, you can say in 2023, I had some like business disappointments around publishing books. And since then, I'm kind of like traumatized about publishing books. So it's like, it's almost like I haven't published any single book since then, even though like, it's like, this is my mission, you know? And I was thinking about it like the other day. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking like, if I was to do only one thing here, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And the answer came like quite clearly that it would be to make people happy, because that's something like, I don't know, I just feel, even when I go to the underground or to the train or to the bus or to the, you know, I just have this ease about feeling happy with nothing at all. Like that's just, it's almost like I do that without even thinking, you know? And I think that a lot of the things that people don't think about that are so easy to them, they are the kind of things that are really, really difficult for other people. And the question I have is like, if, you know, if it's true that my mission is to, you know, impact 100 million people to, you know, tell stories that transform the world, like why am I blocked in that area? Is it because actually that's not my true calling? And secondly, it's like the part about, you know, making people happy. That's something that, I mean, when I wake up, I'm ultra happy. Like I dance while I'm brushing my teeth, and I don't know anyone who is as happy as me with nothing. I actually don't know a single person. And even the people that I'm talking that teach happiness, like I don't see the happiness in their eyes, like in the way that I can experience. Like I know this level of joy that I can just create out of nothing. Right. And so my question is it that sometimes people are thinking that they have a certain mission and actually they need to be like looking at the signs and reassess, because sometimes there's no alignment between what they think they want and what they actually, what they're actually called to do?
So there's a couple components, Lily, and to answer some of those questions, I would, if you don't mind me like reading you specifically, because you're asking why. Yeah. So that's one of my gifts, by the way, is, and that's where a lot of people come to me. They've done a lot of, you know, soul searching. They've done a lot of, say, medical treatments, which hasn't worked. You know, and it's not like the system doesn't work. It's just that your underlying pattern, you know, is distorted. So the system or whatever that you're doing, protocol isn't working. So that's why they come to me to get to the real problem. And so in a nutshell, if you don't mind me reading you specifically, literally is where, you know, you are, say, one of those new trends. The people of the past, the leaders of the past, well, they literally fired themselves. You know, again, look at all the people on the Epstein list, right? They, you know, who's going to follow them anymore, right? They had success. They did a lot of things, but, you know, why did they end up on the list? And I bring that up because most people are running these exact same patterns as those people on the Epstein list. They are just farther along. They still sacrifice. They still, you know, destroy the planet. They still control, right? They're using the same success patterns as those people that ended up going, shit, this isn't the way to go. So you coming on board, you have a higher, say, intelligence ever since you were like 5 or 6 years of age. Seems like you had kind of a near-death type experience yourself, from what I'm seeing, or somebody else died around you. So
yeah, near death experience I had around 5. And it was quite interesting because I was always sleeping in a certain position. And that night I moved my bed towards the window. And it was that night that someone actually put a big stone, a big boulder through the window. And it was like almost like, you know, killed me because I moved the bed that particular night. Yeah.
Crazy. So yeah, that's what I'm picking up. So that experience, what happened was you got out of your, say, physical identity of who you are. You shifted into what I talked about earlier of what we do is get you to the original, say, memory of who you should be. And so when I see you, there's just like two versions of you. You kind of flip back in and out of the version. The one, the Lily that has to be here, you know, according to family dynamics, generational patterns, societal patterns, cultural patterns, being a woman, all that. And then the real version of Lily that is just like naturally happy and, you know, beautiful and, you know, just understands the world with or without, like you say, you have nothing with nothing, or you just be naturally happy with a lot of things as well, because your core identity isn't based on what you have, but who you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is where, you know, what literally I do is like we literally help, you know, find solutions for, you know, for those things that fortune, fame, spirituality, religions, and now even AI can't solve. We solve for those deeper solutions, and this is how we do it. So you were already into that space, but when you create, when you manifest, Lily, you go into the physical form, the physical distortions of who you are. And this is the, you know, family disease patterns, family social structure, family wealth structure, you know, how they see, say, religion from what I'm seeing, or being kind from your definition of being kind is very different from what I'm seeing your, say, family definition of what being kind is about. So there's two different versions from what I'm seeing. You're truly kind from the heart space. You know, they're more just like, I'll be kind just because it's politically correct. So there's no heart space behind it, which is a huge difference for you. Does that make sense for you so far?
Yes.
Okay. So, just take a breath in, and your audience, even if it's on a recording, they'll actually feel the changes in the frequencies, if you don't mind. And I sense that you're feeling a lot of things on your chest space, from what I'm seeing right here, as we work. That's actually you coming into your higher self, merging together as, say, a unified being versus two identities, right? So you go, well, I want to affect 100 million people. But then, you know, the problem with that is that natural intelligence, the science that runs this reality that's been around for 14 billion years, you know, that's proven itself, that science goes, well, Lily, we don't need more people that just want to go help because they're lost themselves. They haven't understood the concepts of what success is about or anything like that, you know. And what's the definition of happiness? For some, definition of happiness is, you know, being tortured, because that's what they've been used to. And, you know, you might laugh at me, you know, it's like, well, nobody wants to be tortured, but look at all the people that, like, say a lot of women, they will leave a safe relationship and go into, say, a bad boy type experience, for example, you know, because they've been used to being abused and being loved. So the hand that you know, supports them also abuses them. So they can't say get comfortable or get happy in a relationship that feels safe and secure for them. So according to them, love is, say, associated to being abused. So there's so many different definitions of happiness, but there's only one real definition of happiness that, say, natural intelligence relies on. So natural intelligence nowadays, basically, you know, your higher self that you had that near-death experience basically goes, Lily, you have to figure your shit out first. And then you can spread that news. So that's what's literally holding you back. You know, once you identify your core essence or basically figure out the solutions to go, oh, now I get it. And then you would see what, you know, writing books, because we just don't want something that's just like, hey, I did this to be happy. And it was their version of happiness. You know, then this is where you get into a solution that fits all, like gravity. Gravity, no matter who you are, works the same way. Does that make sense? Law of thermodynamics, all those things, they work the same way for everybody. It's a unified system. So there's a law for happiness. There's a law for making money or abundance. There's a law of love. All those things have one unified principle. And so the universe is asking you, it's like, Lily, let's get that unified principle. And you're such a great icon that I see, you know, like once you get it, you know, you'll see that you can affect 100 million people and you can write books because now it's coming from a pure place. So you've got a great heart, but the physicalness needs to be there as well. So, and this is where those people, most people go wrong. It's like, well, I want to help all these people, but most people who want to help people, from what I'm seeing, really, and I work on, gosh, over 100,000 client sessions, they're literally lost themselves. I mean, look at psychologists. Most of this, I have a lot of students, you know, that are psychologists, and they basically got into psychology because they wanted to fix their own problems, right? That's what most philanthropy is. Most people who want to help, they want to fix their own problems. So natural intelligence basically goes, well, fix your own problem, and then you can spread that to the world.
Okay, thank you. So how do I fix my own problem to kind of align my higher self with my current self so I can...
I'm actually working on that. That's why you're feeling, say, frequencies in this chest area. You're releasing that identity so the two merge. So how you fix yourself, that's what the programs that we do, the hyper meditations. We have a 10-day meditation for knowing thyself, you know, XI love. So what we do is go, when people try to fix themselves, that's another problem, is they basically hold on to who they are. And who they are is not based on their identity. It's based on, you know, what you inherited from genetic patterns, you know, mom, dad, grandparents, and so on like that. These four ingredients, societal patterns, you know, what's happening today in society's norms, generational patterns, you know, what you bring in Generation X, Generation Z, you know, baby boomers, they all have a certain personality, right? And then also your lifetime or previous lifetime experiences. So those four ingredients create you. And then we go, well, that's who we are. And then from there, I'll build success. I'll build this. I'll build that on top of that. But that just basically creates drag. So what natural intelligence or nature does is basically remove the drag. So what we do at XI, Exponential Intelligence Science, is literally go, oh, wait a second. Do you need to carry your parents' genetic patterns? Do you want to get disease like your parents did? You know, do you want to age like your parents did? Nobody does. But then nobody's figured out a way, you know, to get rid of it, and that we have. It's like, okay, let's change that structure so you're not carrying that drag, the burden of the parents, you know, or grandparents or great-grandparents. I mean, just think of it, Lily. Nobody's ever, like, cleared their distortions out. You know, you are just a version of your mom and dad put together, and then this is Lily, you know, portion of that. And then there's, I want to say an aunt involved in it. I don't know if you were raised by an aunt or seems like another person raised you as well, from what I'm seeing, or had a big impact.
Grandma.
Grandma? Okay.
Yeah.
She feels more like an aunt to me rather than a grandma.
I mean, I stayed at my aunt as well, but I would say the one that I stayed at every summer was my grandma. She used to beat me every summer, every day.
Okay. Got it. I was picking that up as your aunt. She doesn't feel like a grandma frequency to me. She's very jealous, basically, of your mom. Anyway, that's aside. And you can delete this portion out if you want. Totally fine. But so those patterns are in you. And then because of those patterns, you want to go help people. So, and it's all math, honey. And just take a breath in. I mean, while we're here, and again, the people listening to this will feel the frequencies just to help you guys understand what's not yours. Okay. So, like I said, a natural intelligence, or nature basically goes, okay, it looks at every generation and it goes, oh, a new generation of whatever it is, you know, a plant, you know, oak tree or a lion, you know, a duck, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh, what did it do right and what did it do wrong? And let's eliminate what didn't work. Let's enhance what did work. And then it puts it into the next generation. Humans just don't do that. They basically go, I'll have what mom and dad had and boom, you know, and it's just like, what the hell? So what we go do is like, wait a second, let's look back at what's holding you, you know, what's literally dragging you, and let's eliminate that. And as you do, you feel so much lighter, so much brighter, so much stronger. And this is where you get to see who you really are. You peel away the layers of what you're not. Like me reading that it's your grandma. I saw it as an aunt, but yeah. Same pattern, but why am I seeing that in you? Because that's a drag in you. You're still running away from that pattern. Got it? You're still trying to prove to yourself that you're worthy of being here. Because back then it's like, you're not worthy enough. That's why I have to beat you up, for example. Get it? So you're proving, especially in your teens, it's like, shit, no, I have to push myself to the limits so I can prove that I'm worthy. So I'm prove that I'm good to people. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So just in that, and just take a breath in. Can we just eliminate all that stuff for you and other people who ran the same patterns? All right. So think of it this way, and it's all math. So every 2-3 units of, say, not being worthy enough or being beat up equals 1 unit of success for you, because that was your, say, escape mechanism. That was your why. Tony Robbins, Joe Dispenza, and all those great people who created a lot of success, you know, Warren Buffett, all those people go, your why has to be really big. Your why has to be really big. But there's a problem with that, because most people's why is what they hate in their life. If you think about it, you know, I want to protect my children. Well, that means that your children are in harm's way. You know, I don't want to live like I did in the past. You know, I don't want to be abused. I don't want to be whatever to prove that I'm worthy here. So they make a bigger why, which creates a lot of motivation. And just notice your shoulders on the back of your lungs. But then, like I said, if you have like three units, this is specific for you, like 3 units of, say, that burden or pain equals 1 unit of success. If you want 10 units of success, honey, or if you want to affect 100 million people, that's a lot of success. So you're basically going, well, if I want that much, I would have to be distorted, abused, taken advantage of, not feel worthy by, you know, say you wanted 100 units of that, which equals, you know, say 100 million people. This goes up to, gosh, you know, 100 units, 2-1, like 200-400 units of burden, pain, shame, all that. That's way too much for you to handle. And your higher self is going, you can't afford that because you'll destroy your body. And you're here to have love, spread happiness and so on. So why would you want to do that anyway? Your higher self is actually saving you. That's why you can't get motivated to write books and so on. But once you flip it around and you eliminate, it's like, well, why do I need to prove myself each and every day? Because that's what you do. You prove yourself each and every day, and that's what bogs you down. Does that make sense for you?
Yes.
Yeah. So in this case, honey, you flip it around and then you go, wait a second. Your why is, I want to be the best potential of who I was, say, slated for, who I was designed for to be. not my parents' version, not society's versions, but who I was originally encoded genetically for. And that way, it's like, hell, you can get rid of all of this why and go towards the why that you are. And then the more you practice being yourself by eliminating or by sacrificing the bullshit that you're not, it becomes exciting. You can work 80, 100 hours. It doesn't matter, you know, because you're finding yourself along the way. As you find yourself, you can help more people. So that equation turns around for you. It's like, gosh, the more I find who I am, the more success I have in helping others. So there's no loss. It's a win-win. If you look at nature, hon, you know, a lion's get, say, better at hunting, you know, and you go, well, that's a sacrifice. It is. But then the gazelle, in this case, get better at camouflage. They get better at their speed. So in nature, that's what happens. It's a nice cycle that raises all. In humanity, one has to lose, right, to create a winner. And that's where humanity goes upside down. So in this case, what you do is you're, as you raise yourself, you're raising other people. So it's getting back to the laws of natural intelligence. So that, and again, that's what we do. And it's very efficient. After this call, I know it's kind of turned different than most of your talks. But after this call, you'll go, holy hell, what the hell happened to me? I'm actually myself. And you'll be dancing while you're brushing your teeth, honey, and all that. And you're going, wow, this is the real me, because you're celebrating who you are.
Thank you. One thing I was conscious of was that the thing, one of the blocks, you can say, for helping 100 million people was actually my own fear, because I've always been afraid of people. From a really young age, from like 4 years old until 18 years old, my grandma used to beat me every day that I used to visit her every summer. And then also my mom was married to a guy and he used to beat her up every time. And if he didn't beat her up, he was still like drinking and he would like slap her, or he was just like angry. And she would say to protect us, you know, go to your room. And it was like, I was sitting there scared thinking about, oh my God, my mom was going to die. I was like so terrified. And let's say, I'm sure most people don't have that kind of experience, but for people that are afraid for whatever reason, I think everyone has some sort of fear, a fear of not being good enough or being unworthy or a fear of multiple different things. What can they do to overcome that fear? For me, it was just like a fear of people. In general, and I know how it doesn't make sense how you want to like impact 100 million people and at the same time be afraid of people.
Exactly. Because, you know, in your family structure, you literally give your life force away. I call them time coins, to like enhance others, because that's what your grandma, say, dictated you do. It's like why your grandma beats you up literally every day, because it's like, grandma, okay, don't beat me up as hard if I give you my life force, my life essence. To you. She's literally sucking the life out of you. That's the exchange. And you're going, no, you can't have it. So she beats you up. And then you succumb to giving your life force away. Does that make sense to you? So you've literally attached somebody who takes care of you to beating you up. And that's what I was kind of mentioning, kind of slightly, with women who get attracted to abusive relationships. They've associated that. So in that case, sweet, you go, well, if I connect with people and I really care for them, does that mean that that equation still operates? Are they going to beat me up again to make me feel love, to have me feel safe? And you're going, well, shit, I don't want that. You know, and that's what I talk about is like, well, do I really want to help all those people? Because then that would mean I have to get abused. I have to get, you know, taken advantage of. I have to do all those things. So that's the equation scenario I was talking about. So in this case, I flipped that around for you where it's like, wait, I don't need to do all that. All I have to do is like, let go, understand my self-worth of who I am. So to answer your question, of what you said is like, well, what do people do? One, we can get rid of that. And we kind of did that. We'll go deeper into it. Just notice your, ribs, honey. Just take a breath in, you and the audience. I want to explain how the science works behind it. I mean, that's all on my website and everything, on how I can affect you even through a recording. It's crazy, but your audience will feel this. So what you do for those people is one, look at the, look at the formula that you use to be accepted in society. Okay. Do you have to be abused, or do you always have to say present yourself in a submissive way to be accepted?
No.
Right. But most people run that pattern.
I definitely run this pattern. Like, I feel like for a really long time, I was almost like a servant, like willing to do pretty much anything, people pleasing. Like, I could wipe your feet, you know, if that's what it takes to keep you happy. Like, I would do anything. And I'm talking for anyone, for my boyfriend, for my the people I published books for. Like, I would have done anything for people that I was working as a nanny or as a cleaner. Like, there was nothing they could have said where I would have said no.
That's my point, sweetie. That is exactly my point.
There's a very needy energy, for sure, that comes from me, and I don't know how to change that.
Well, we're changing it now for you as we speak.
Okay.
You're too kind. I see your heart, and it's like, damn, she's got so much potential. But her potential is going to be very limited because she's giving away that potential to be accepted in physical form. So in a short term, I'm basically helping you remember your essence of who you are before anybody told you the way you should be. Okay. If you want to get spiritual or religious, let's work on that as well, because there's a lot of, say, dark religion in your family. They use religion as an excuse to beat the hell out of you. So, because if they don't beat the hell out of you, you're going to go to hell. So they're doing you a favor. Your grandmother's doing you a favor, by the way. That's the way she thinks it is, although it's wrong. So, does that make sense for you? Yeah. So those kind of religions or those kind of, and no matter, it doesn't matter the religion, you know, it could be Catholic, you know, Jewish, whatever it is, whatever people practice, there's thousands of religions, and it's like, hey, I'm going to beat the hell out of you, so you can stay on the straight and narrow path so you don't go to hell. It gives them an excuse, to beat their kids up, to beat their wives up. That's the kind of family structure that you say came out of, so to speak.
It's more like to be excellent. It's like it's a way to protect you from the world. You have to become the best. You have to be perfect. You have to be excellent. And the only way she believed you could get there was if you got beaten every day.
That's my point. You have to be on the straight and narrow. You have to be your best. She's beating the hell out of you. That's what their statement comes out. It's like, she's beating the sin out of you, which is bullshit, but that's what they think. That's an excuse for, to beat their children up, to beat their wives up, to beat whatever up. And it's not true. It's just not true, but people gravitate to that because it's, I don't know why, because they're insecure themselves. You know, so anyway, that's beside that. We can go down that rabbit hole, but I'd rather not. I'd rather spend it on redirecting you and, you know, the people that listen to you into another avenue where you start to see your potential of who you are. So, a lot of things will show up for you, by the way. It's your choice, because I can't force you to make a choice. It's against free will. It's your choice to go the old pattern or the new pattern. And you'll see it very clearly. You and your audience will see it very, very clearly.
Thank you. Can everyone awaken to their superhuman potential? Or is it only some people that are chosen for that? Or is it that some people, you can say everyone can potentially awaken to their superhuman potential, but not everyone is open or aware or conscious of what's available to them.
Yes, you are absolutely true. That's pretty accurate. And just to define it a bit more, so people can awaken to their human potential, but, you know, if you say that you've rattled yourself with a lot of diseases because you didn't take care of yourself, get it? Or you're like 95 years old. You know, so yeah, you can awaken to your potential, but can you reverse the physical effects on your body? That's what we're asking. And so if you're younger, say applying the XI method, you know, the protocols, yes, you can definitely change. Like, we have kids that dramatically change, you know, their parents' patterns and so on like that. I mean, look at your patterns. Your mom got beat up, therefore you get beat up. And, you know, if you had kids, most likely, if we don't disconnect that pattern, your kids would probably end up getting beat up, or they beat other people up. that kind of deal. So it just, and then from what I'm seeing, your great grandparents beat their, you know, their kids up and so on and so on. It just goes up the line from what I'm seeing. So those kind of patterns, you know, at a younger age, you can delete that faster. You've got less physical experience. So those individuals do really well. Those people who adapt and go, forget it. I'm just leaving that behind and I'm going this way. So those people move really fast, usually like within weeks. Like after this talk, your life, Lily, will radically change. And a lot of people listening to this will radically change. Those people move fast. But like I said, if you're older and you're holding on to your identity, it's like, well, I want to feel safe. Well, that identity is keeping you safe anyway. So it takes a little, they awaken, but will they experience it in physical form? Well, maybe not as much because it just takes a little longer for their physical body to change. And this is where, so say that you're in your 30s and 40s and you release all that. This is where your health patterns change. This is where you stay younger. You know, you keep your shape. This is where you don't age like your parents or society does. I mean, you have that choice. It is quite amazing what we do.
Thank you. Let's say someone doesn't have the opportunity to come to your workshop or program. What can they do to activate their superhuman potential by themselves?
By themselves? Yeah.
Yeah.
We just do it faster. We all have the potential, by the way. It's just that I went through the near deaths. I went through the experiences myself and applied it, right? And that, so I teach it. But start to do spatial reference. And it's very, very simple. Spatial referencing. So what that is, it goes outside of your mind. Because when people like, you know, they practice, mindfulness. Well, mindfulness is just, you're still processing the same way that you don't know, and you're mindful of what you're doing. It relaxes you, but it doesn't really change you. So spatial referencing is very, very simple. You use your five senses, and we could do it now. I mean, just take a look at what's around you, okay? Visually, just take a look at what's around you, and then a point on your body. It doesn't matter what. And so notice what's around you, an object, a picture, a door, whatever it is, and then, you know, say your collarbone. You know, your audience can do that as well. Maybe listen to the sound of my voice, or maybe other sounds around you, and then a point on your body. It could be the tip of your nose. It could be anywhere. And do it with, you know, a taste, the taste in your mouth, and then an internal point. Do it with touch. You know, notice your clothing and then your body. Notice your hair on your, you know, on your skin. And notice, I mean, even now, look at you, Lily. You're becoming more and more centered. This is like a GPS for you. And again, I won't get into the science. It's on the website, but basically notice how you switched. Notice that your awareness became really, say, it's like, damn, I'm actually here. So that's the key. So imagine if you just practice that as often as you can a day. It doesn't take long. Whether you're driving, whether you're talking to somebody, just look around you, look at your reference points, and then a simple point on your body, right? Your thumbnail. It doesn't matter what, but it synchronizes your GPS. Just like, you know, when you use, you know, when you go to Google Maps and it's like, hey, your compass is off. It's not calibrated right, you know, and then you move your, you know, the phone like that and it recalibrates. This literally recalibrates who you are in space and time. And this goes beyond your mind. And then once you're recalibrated properly, your mind works to be a lot clearer. People who have done this, they've gotten off their antipsychotic medications, antidepressants. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to cure you, but people feel really good, especially kids, because they're all over the place. They can't like hold a space in one unit. I mean, just looking at you, hun, it's just like, holy hell. There's so much awareness I can just see is like, oh my God, what's happening? You know, there's so much awareness coming at you, which is beautiful. Those are all the things that are like needing to eliminate. And I can help you with that if you want. Just take a breath in, notice your jawline. And again, for you, it's your upper chest, upper back, and for your audience as well. And again, it's all science. It's no woo-woo or anything like that. It's just we all have these abilities. I've learned it over the, 20 years now, to edit me and others for your benefit. There we go. So as you become aware, you start to again go, I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need the diseases. And this is where you refine yourself more and more. And this is where things happen for you that people go, it's magical. But again, just that's the way you should be. I'll give you a scenario, Sudhi. Think of a seed. You plant it. You know, it's an oak tree, it's a flower, whatever, it doesn't matter. You nourish it, right? You give the proper nourishment and it grows the way it should be. Well, you're that seed that was planted. But then your nourishment, well, kind of failed. You know, your grandma beating the hell out of you, you're seeing your mom get beat up, you know, it like literally distorts, you know, your growth. So you remove all that. And then you replenish, and you know, humans are amazing. They adapt so amazingly well. And then you come back to what you were originally, say, encoded for in that seed.
Thank you. How does someone awaken their superhuman potential in terms of healing? Because, for example, I think I would be millions of years ahead if I was healthy. Like for the last 7 years, I was depressed. I had sore throat, cough, migraine. And I functioned, I would say, at 1% of my potential. And I'm starting to feel a lot better now. I'm not depressed anymore. But I'm still kind of like out of focus. I'm not like the super bunny Lily that I remember.
Yeah. Well, that's the key, you know, because as you age, Lily, the distortions of your parents, the family, will get more magnified. And your identity of Lily basically, you know, subsides. So in this case, spatial referencing, if you want to do it on your own, just do that on your own. And you literally go, oh gosh, you know, the way I'm aging, you know, feels like my mom. I don't want to age like her. You know, does your mom have hip problems from seeing your left side? Yeah. Your mom has hip problems from what I'm seeing.
She has some.
So, and so you're a little, you know, you're a girl and you, a young girl, and it's like, mom's a, you know, a woman. I'm a woman. It's like, okay. Oh, she's got hip problems. Oh, that means that, when I get older, you know, I'm going to have hip problems. You know, cause that's how DNA learns. You know, it's not necessarily encoded in your gene pool. It literally goes, that's how they're aging. I must age like that too. So what happens for you is like once you start awakening, if you want to do it on your own, spatial referencing, that simple exercise, do it as often as you can. Otherwise, you know, we've got plenty of stuff on the website. But, you know, you observe it and you start to go, shit, I don't need to age. I don't need to have the same hip problems as my mom. You know, I don't need to have all the diseases. But once you start to awaken, you literally go, and this is why I was talking about, you know, depression and so on. A lot of people suffer from depression. It's not a mental issue. A lot of times it's not a chemical issue. All those things are symptoms. They're the blister, the surface level layer. But none of that medicines, therapy, or whatever else, you know, really, it helps the blister, but it doesn't help the disease that causes the blister. So, it seems like you, something forced you at, not exactly sure how old you are, but,
44 at the moment.
40, yeah. 44. Yeah. 32. It seems like you woke up. Something pushed you to the limit that you basically said, I'm not going to take this shit anymore. And this is where you started taking control of your life. And this is where you awoken. And this is where you feel better. You're not depressed and all that. So does that make sense to you? There's an experience that just like, okay, no more. So, and then that Lily that was awakened at 6 years old started to take more over. So that's what we do. Lily's like, well, there's all these opportunities for you to awaken each and every moment. What we do is like literally pinpoint those opportunities for you and go take that opportunity to awaken. Most people miss it. So you took advantage of it, of whatever happened. You could have gone two ways during that time. Could have gone darker, but you said, hell no. And then you went the other way. So nice job.
The thing that I find quite interesting, though, is that I have still hundreds of opportunities like really mind-blowing opportunities that I haven't taken. Like at some point, there was this opportunity to speak and to organize an event for Les Brown online. And the organizer of that event asked me if I can like do it. And I somehow just believed, oh, she's not going to pay. And I kind of like just basically postponed it. Finally, she hired someone else and paid £15,000 for it. And that person didn't do a good job. And the whole event didn't happen because I didn't step up. And like this, I mean, I can think of many more, you know, opportunities where I'm like a book publishing program where, you know, like I was going to publish a book for someone for 50K and said, you know, he said, like, send me the proposal, and I didn't. And I don't know why I do this, like why I get all of these amazing opportunities and I'm like, you know, having the conversation and then like, why am I not following up? And the thing is that I do that only for this, like, I don't do it for like friendships. I'm great, you know, very reliable, on time, you know, like, and why do I do it specifically for opportunities that could propel me to like the next level? I don't know why I do that.
And you
self-sabotage.
Yeah. And you know, that's the way we label it. You know, sabotage. It's really not sabotage. It's literally what we talked about before. There's a safety mechanism in you, Lily, especially after 32. It's like if you got into that Les Brown situation, the lady would literally dominate you and destroy you and, you know, not treat you well. So why, again, it goes back to that math, you know, the equation. It's like, why would you want to get abused? You know, there's a physical benefit, but do you want to get abused for achieving the benefit? You don't. Okay. And I'll give you an example, like, you know, Harvey Weinstein, those individuals, right? Or, you know, what's happening with, a lot of like, you know, like, gosh, Deepak Chopra or that Mateo, guy. I don't know if you know him, but a documentary came out on Mateo and all these other people, you know, that are supposed to help. Well, you know, and all these victims are coming up. It's like, oh yeah, they abused me, you know, and this like that. But, you know, they had a propensity or a pattern of being victimized. So that's why they got into those situations. I'm not saying that they're good people or bad people. I'm not blaming the victims or anything like that. But obviously there was a pattern in them. So you at 32, you basically decided, I'm not washing anybody's feet for whatever purpose anymore. I'm not going to be used. So it's not a sabotage pattern. It's a safety bell for you, Lily. All the situations, because the more money you make, the more success you would have, the more abuse you would. Why would you want that? You're too intelligent for that, or your higher self is too intelligent for it. And you go, I don't want to sell my soul. I don't want to sell my life force, my time coins, for physical achievement. So in this case, in a very short time, I would suggest doing more sessions, but to really accelerate you. But in a very short time, you'll see opportunities show up for you, and you'll go, "Yeah, I can take it," because we helped you change that equation. And this is like, "Oh, if I take that opportunity, I get to know more of who I am. I get to prove my self-worth, rather than, you know, and expand who I am, rather than get destroyed by the person that's, you know, sponsoring me or offering me an opportunity." You're not a slave anymore, Lily, after this call. Think of it that way. You're not a slave to anyone anymore. That's where you can show your gifts.
Thank you. So how did this change like that? How did the perspective, how did the perspective change from like, I'm going to be hurt to I'm empowered to discover what's going to happen for me and the possibilities I can create for myself?
Yeah. So here's a little bit of the science. Okay. So, you know, you have intelligence, you have function, and you have form. Okay. So basically there's an intelligence, and I'm not talking about brain intelligence. I'm not talking about IQ, more XIQ, exponential intelligence quotient. This is the intelligence that rendered you or created you before you had a single cell. So that's the intelligence. Okay. And that intelligence is not, say, pure. And again, it's filtered by, you know, genetics, generation patterns, societal patterns, and so on. That renders you here, and that's your function. Your function is how you process information, you know, how your logic system works, how your emotions work, and so on like that. And then you have form. you know, what you physically experience. So most psychology, most everything works on the form function. I mean, the form, right? It's like, this happened to me, I have to change the form. But that's like going, well, and this is where people go through the same exact, say, situation in life over and over. They date the same person, although it's different. Get it? You know, because they're just changing the form. They're changing the person. They're not changing, say, the programming underneath that attracts them to the same level of people. That's the function level. And that's where most of psychology, most of, again, Tony Robbins, Joe Dispenza, they do great work, but they work at that level, the function form, or say the intellect level, mental states, so on like that. Right? But you have to go upriver before your brain, there was, say, a template that you operate from. And that's what we do. We go, so what I did, and it's out of, say, time and space, it's that template that I was working at with you on the call. And for me, it's very simple because I've done it, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of times with tons of people. So to me, as we're talking, I can just literally help you. It's not me that does it. I just awaken your higher self, that intelligence that created you. Hey, that should have happened when you were young, to go, I don't need this, I don't need this, I don't need this. So I'm just helping you delete all those things that you're not. And then you get to see Lily as a very, very different individual.
Thank you. The other thing that I find quite important is this. Like, I was on social media for many years, and I was really scared to post. And even when I was posting something, I hated the look of me and my voice, and like, I just hated the look at myself. And then I had this conflict with one person, and then this person said, oh, you and your partner, you're like absolute crap on social media, and you don't know what you're doing, and you have no followers and whatever. And because they said that, they were like, oh, okay. So like in 1 year, I had like 98,000 followers on Facebook, but I mean, and at some point, like I remember the energy in me like really changed. Like mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it. Like I was like so relaxed about posting on social media, and I was posting even like pictures without makeup. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I felt like so free, and I just felt like I'm in this bubble of self-love and love. And I just felt like I was in love. Like I just felt there was so much joy and so much love and so much. And I don't know. I just felt like the people of social media loved me, and they were engaging so much with my post. And then what happened? I remember at some point, like Facebook somehow shadow banned me. Like I couldn't even find my own page, you know, like on Facebook. And like I was searching for myself and I couldn't find myself. I don't know what happened. So I'm wondering about the energy of basically, I don't know what happened. Like I don't know how sometimes you can like manifest to become mm-hmm. this like superstar overnight. And this clearly kind of guided by energy. And then all of a sudden, like all of that energy goes away, and then you're back to square one. And I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know the details, but I'll give you like my view on it. So whoever contacted you and goes, hey, you know, you don't look that great or whatever, you know, you guys are full of crap. That opportunity, it could have been devastating for you, but you, the way you run your patterns, if like somebody pushes against you, you know, like say your grandma again, she beats you up, it gives you more inertia to prove that you're self-worthy.
Yeah.
So you took that opportunity to go, oh, that's like basically grandma beating you up, but just a different form. Somebody else beat you up. It's like, well, hey, fuck them. I'll show you.
Yeah.
And this is prove to them. So, but do you need that? That's what I was talking about earlier. Do you need more disapproval for you to prove yourself? So we change that as well for you, right? But then a lot of times when people rise to that level, they can't maintain that. And this is very similar to overnight fame, right? Somebody is like overnight fame, and then what they do is the next day they commit suicide. Because it's a magnifier, and that's, you know, I talked about that earlier. How you used to create fortune and fame, that magnifies. And sometimes the inertia or the pain is so great at that level that they can't handle it. So they have to, again, disconnect from this physical form. So you just basically, like, at some level disappeared. It could be Facebook. It doesn't really matter the form aspect of it on how it happened, but you couldn't have handled that, say, that the fortune and fame at that level. A lot of people can't because, again, their distortions magnify with them. Most people who are highly successful, what they're doing, Lily, is about how do I maintain all this bullshit that I have inside so nobody can see it? So this, they spend tons, right, with PR agents and everything to create an image of themselves that are perfect. Does that make sense? But they're just trying to contain their distortions. In XI, basically, what we do is go, hey, you know what? You're going to that next level of fortune and fame. Let's get rid of all the stuff that's not you so you look even prettier stage.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Well, they can go to the xicode.com, T-H-E-X-I, Exponential Intelligence Code, .com. There's a lot of, you know, programs there. If you join the newsletter, you get a free hyper meditation. That'll take you deeper, which is really powerful. You can also go to Masati, M-A-S-A-T-I .live, and that's my YouTube channel, and there's so much free content, on there as well. And you get to see the logistics on, a lot of things on why things happen the way they are and what you can do about them.
Thank you.
Your podcast with Lily Patashko shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever. Shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.